And Frank Viola writes in his book, Jesus Manifesto, that we no longer pursue the mysteries of God. We continue to try to put our understanding, our human logic, on knowing Jesus Christ, instead of asking God to reveal the mystery of Jesus Christ, to reveal the truth of Jesus Christ. And if we want to truly understand that he lives in us, then we need to ask God to show us that. But we're not taught that. I don't recall ever hearing in the church, let go of your worldly thinking and ask God to explain things to you.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point, David.
Yeah, never heard it. So, well, you know, that's why the Jesus Manifesto was a very important book for me. Because again, it was helping me understand that we need to pursue the mysteries of God. Jesus Christ in me is one of those mysteries.
Now, it was my job as a pastor to continue the narrative, the Trinitarian narrative. And so if you had questions, you came to pastor, you came to your theologian professor, and they were to answer for you this mystery. But I tell you, all we did is complicate it. And it still was mush. And I remember trying to you know, find every analogy I could to describe or help people understand the Trinity. From water to the egg to just about anything you'd come across. Okay, this is who the Trinity is. But people would still go, huh?
Give them the look. But here's my question, Dennis. How would you begin a conversation with somebody who's never heard the truth of Christ in us? How would you begin to explain to him that is the real true Jesus?
Scott, I could go to scripture, but I from a practical
right, like Christy said, everybody's heard scripture. It's out there.
You know how my approach, it may be a little bit unorthodox. I come at it from the standpoint of your identity. And so what I mean by that is just ask a person, who do you really think you are? Deep inside, in almost subconscious way, what is your real self story? Who are you really? And begin working from that vantage point. Most people, again, have a blank stare. They have no idea.
they've never answered a question like that.
Well, they've never been confronted with the fact that there's another real self. That the self that they're living is the only self they've known, and have never been challenged with the fact that there's a deeper reality.
Yeah.
There's a self story that's real, that is the reality. What you're posing and what you're showing right now through you is simply a facade. You've made that story up. Okay. Now, once you begin to help them understand that there's a greater reality, then you can say, well, who is that reality? Where is that reality from? And you can help them explore the idea that there's really only one self, only one true self in all the universe. And who is that?
God.
Yeah. There's only one self in the universe. And the Jews had this right. God is one. There was no other God beside him. Okay. Now, as much as we used to put that aside, we have to say, yeah, there is really only one God. There is only one self. And the self that I think I'm living is maybe or maybe not that self.
Right. Okay?
So that's where I come from, and helping people understand it from a more of a human personality standpoint. And then you can bring in the scriptures that affirm that.
Well, it gives the rest of us, I think, just you know, an understanding of how we can, you know, how we can approach other people with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With that.
No, I think we have to be careful on approaching people with it.
Yeah.
I think the key, because people are going to have a hard time with it, but the key to it, I think, is just getting to know somebody. Sure. Let the conversation go where it goes. Mm-hmm. And at the appropriate time, you would be led, I believe, to bring that into the conversation.
Sure.
I don't see that there's a pat answer to how do we share Christ in me. It's going to be different for everybody you meet.
Right, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So again, it goes back to what we've talked about in the past. Are we going to take the time to show an interest in a person and get to know them,
mm-hmm.
and allow the doors to be open to bring in these truths?
Mm-hmm. There had to have been times, David, when you were doing your coffee shop ministry, that somebody would come by you and they'd see the Bible sitting on the table or see you studying the Bible, and they would ask you about it.
Yeah, it happened more than once. A very good friend of mine that I think some of you have met, he and his wife came up to one of our get-togethers at Hood River one year, Kevin Shipp and his wife Abigail.
Yeah.
And he was actually a Starbucks barista. And he asked me about it. He said, "You're in here all the time talking to people and you guys got your Bibles. What's going on?" And, you know, that was 16 years ago.
Yeah.
And Kevin and I are still in contact to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Fellowshipping together, discussing the Bible. We've got a great friendship, a great relationship going. And he's just one of the many people that asked me about it. There were others, obviously, that didn't move into a relationship. A couple of them I probably ticked off because they didn't like what I told them. But, yeah, I mean, I was approached about it all the time. And, I mean, after all, I was spending 6 hours a day, 3-4 days a week at Starbucks.
Yeah.
Who's this crazy guy at Starbucks?
He was a minister. That's a good one.
I had people from New Hope Church come over to Starbucks and ask the baristas if they knew where I was.
Yeah.
It was his second home. That was fun.
So this, if you're going to share Jesus with someone today, you know, the old traditional way was we would just talk about who he was, and he died on the cross for the sins, and he's preparing a place in heaven. That's the traditional Jesus. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, yeah. You said something very telling there, Dennis. We talk about Jesus as who he was.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Not who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's another mistake that I think is made in Christianity. Mm-hmm. We talk about Jesus as if he's in the past tense.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and exactly. And that's, quite frankly, the way our theology, or the contemporary Christian theology, poses him. For the most part, he did his job as a human. He lived on earth for 33 and a half years. Did his job, died on the cross, did what he's told to do. Now he's going back to heaven to be with the Father, and it's now the Holy Spirit's turn to continue the work.
So he was just a good soldier, did what he did, and now he's back home.
Yeah, and he's one more job he has to do, has to come back and redeem or collect all the people that accepted him. That's his final job for God.
Sorry, I just want to
realize that when I'm in a discussion with someone, I know it's very hard to feeling or an experience that I. If I simply just say, I've come to realize Jesus with me now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's come, he's here with me now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we're one with the Father, mm-hmm. he and I pray directly to our Father, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come to realize that I know that he guides everything I do, and I'm submission to him in that sense.
Yeah.
But that's how I've come to realize or feel.
Okay. Now, Arnold, your current situation and your past situation.
Yeah.
What have those experiences contributed to how you know Jesus? Now I'm kind of twisted around here a little bit. What I'm getting at is, you've had a certain vantage point. Albeit your health condition, and I think you've expressed this previously, has given you an advantage on knowing Jesus is here now. And you're able to share that reality with others in a way that's verifiable, a way that is very practical.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
I do agree with that. And all the time in the hospital and the time in recovery and the times of uncertainty,
mm-hmm.
and where, you know, I just had to change certain things in my life.
Okay.
You know, clean up some things, frankly.
Okay.
Well, just like Andy was talking, or others on this call,
mm-hmm.
and frankly, I needed Jesus with me now, not at a distance.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, as I were to talk to someone, it would be about my experience,
right.
About mm-hmm. what I know and feel.
Okay,
which it's pretty hard for someone else to. You know, argue against that.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
Hey, well, I thought Jesus had to come back in clouds of glory. And I said, well, that's just not my experience. You know?
All right. Okay. Now,
I mean,
let me just ask this, though. As we've been talking, in the contemporary theological paradigm, people would say, well, is that Jesus or is that the Holy Spirit? How would you differentiate in that?
Well, I just would, from my own experience, it is Jesus that I am one with him.
Okay.
And obviously his spirit is alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
I would call that the Holy Spirit, but it's a spirit of Jesus, which is one with God.
Yeah. You know, okay. God's okay.
It's only so one.
Dennis, I have a question to toss in here.
Yeah.
Do we have to go through what Arnold has gone through to get to the point where he is? I want to get to the point where Arnold is. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily want to go through all the pain, torture, and agony. You know, I mean.
Thank you, sir.
No. And that's the amazing grace of God. All of us have unique situations, some more or less, I was going to say simpler, but probably easier than Arnold's. Some, and I don't, this is all God's working. He's in us. It's his working, his problem. I guess no one situation is the standard.
Mm-mm.
Every one of us go through some form, whether it's severe adversity or trauma or just a little complication, whatever, in those moments we begin to realize who it is we really are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I posed this, if you read in the email, this is something that's always been of interest to me. Paul says, and if you caught this in First Colossians, he says in verse 24 of the first chapter,
First Colossians,
I became a dispenser. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for you.
Yeah.
And am filling up in my flesh in his place. And the Concordant Bible says, in his stead, the deficiencies of the afflictions of Christ. How do you work that through your mind? What's going on here? Paul says, I'm actually suffering for you in as Jesus. I'm filling up the deficiencies of the afflictions of Christ. What is he talking about?
I wrote
it
about that.
It sounds like his suffering is the only way that they get to see something.
Yeah. Or he got to see. Was he kind of complaining, you think? Frustrated?
Not according to, I'm now rejoicing.
Yeah. I wrote about that yesterday morning in my, with the strength of Paul post that I put out there. Right. Mm-hmm. But the, just decide, you know, to give an example of what the mainstream church mm-hmm. is putting out there. You know who Hank Hanegraaff is, right?
Oh, yeah.
He put out a book a couple of years ago called The Bible Answer. Of course, he has a show on radio called The Bible Answer Man that he had for the longest time. There's a question that he took a question he poses in the book. What does it mean to say the Holy Spirit is in you?
Okay.
And he goes through the whole... Yeah, what does he say? First, saying the Holy Spirit is in you isn't pointing out where the Holy Spirit is physically located. but that is what the church is. I mean, that's the theology.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Holy Spirit is in us now, not Jesus.
So, Dennis, one of the things that you had said to us that really struck me was, what does God want? He wants to be shown. How is he going to be shown? And mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. through Jesus in us, through us, mm-hmm. and I think that when I think about going through trials, or I think about honestly just day to day, and that's
mm-hmm.
the truth.
Mm-hmm. There's plenty of things, yeah.
Plenty
yeah.
of things. I just think about how can I be that vessel? How can I show God's love
mm-hmm.
that is... in reading through kind of just what Paul and everything he has gone through, and to say that, you know, Jesus is using me, and look at how horrible a sinner I was, you know, look at, mm-hmm. that's an example for us to say, you know, mm-hmm. nothing we go through, suffering, affliction, or whatever is too much. None of it's too much. And we are all God wanting to use all of us to show mm-hmm. him amazing glory and love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That I guess that for me, that's that.
Mm-hmm. So here's Paul. He's got this fledgling body of believers in the region of Colossae. Actually, there's this principal city of Laodicea and other cities in that region. Some people have started to congregate. There's a body of Christ forming there in that place. So he's wanting to encourage. He's not even there with them. He's writing to them to encourage them, to build them up. And his whole point is that I want to present every man, verse 29, every man mature in Christ Jesus. How's he going to do that? How's he going to do that? How is he going to convey to them the realities of Christ in him? He could do it by saying, look how amazingly perfect and all of my problems are taken care of. Everything is perfect now. Everything is calm. Everything is serene. Just look at that. Isn't that proof that God is real? That Christ is in me?
No.
How impressed are you by someone that says, hey, everything's good. Yeah. I've prayed. God has answered all my prayers, and life's good and perfect and easy.
I'd look at you and I'd say, you haven't been through what I've been through.
I don't think many of us would be impressed with someone who would be giving that kind of a presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Christy, when I got to that place in my discussion with my sister, who I love dearly, and she's curious about what I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
I just said, Artis, you, it may be hard for me to explain, but you're looking at the face of God in me.
Mm.
And I see the face of God in you. Mm-hmm. We are one with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's how God reveals himself to us, each other. That's how the Father reveals himself.
Okay.
You know, and it's hard for her to understand.
Well, Arnold, because you're sick.
Yeah.
You're going through adversity. How can you display God because you're sick?
How did Paul display God when he was going through his trials?
That's the question, Scott.
You know, I don't dwell on being sick. Jesus is with me moment by moment. He is me.
Okay.
I'm absorbed in him.
But... Mm-hmm.
Sickness and trial and good and bad.
Okay. But isn't the message, the prevailing image of God as perfection, all beauty, all health, all good? Isn't that the message that is conveyed?
Yeah. Well, and I would say back that look around in this world. There's a little bit of trouble here and there. God will prevail through all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But in the short run, here I am, one with Christ, and I know you are too. Maybe mm-hmm. you may not believe the way I do, but when I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you from God, from my perspective, God.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. But the question comes up, well, why hasn't he healed you? If God is in you and he's real, doesn't he want you to be whole and perfect and healed?
You know what? I don't have to have the answer to that.
I have an observation on that.
Me and Jesus are working on it.
Okay. But isn't that the notion that people have when you talk to them about God, God in you, the first thing that comes to their mind, well, your trials and your life isn't what I'm thinking God is. God's perfect. He wants you healed. He wants you to live a life happy and free from everything.
Right.
My heavenly body will be very different. I'll just say that. But over and over in the Bible, it talks about rejoicing in your trials, rejoicing in what your sufferings and what you go through.
Mm-hmm.
If we didn't have that, why would we need God? Why would we need grace and mercy? Why would we need to show his love at all?
Weakness makes you strong.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you weak. It makes you strong for God's strength.
Yeah. It talks about all of these things molding you and making you into a better vessel, I suppose. I mean, in that way, but a strengthening.
If someone asked me why I'm not healed, why he healed me yet, I'd say, well, you don't know him. Because he has healed me. I may have physical ailments, but he has healed me. It's not a physical healing, it's a spiritual healing.
Amen.
Yeah. A matter of the heart.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I point to the scripture, and I point that finger of blame at the authors of the scripture, because we do not have, and Dennis, you and I have talked about this, we don't have that good of a narrative of the life of Jesus when he was young, as he was growing up, in his teenage years, moving into those years, going into his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
We don't hear that, you know, Jesus was teased when he was going to school. If he was, you know, the things that all kids do, even back then, you know, his parents got upset with him. He was punished. You know, I'm sure when he was a kid growing up, we don't have that.
But Scott, don't we have enough?
Yeah.
Revealed in the life of Christ as he lived. Yes. You think about it. His lifestyle wasn't all that attractive in terms of understanding the favor and the blessing of God.
Right. I mean,
he camped out in the stars under a rock for his pillow and didn't have a place to call home.
But how much more of a connection will we have with him if we could see that in the scripture where, hey, you know, he grew up just like one of us. He went through the same things, even though the scripture says that we have a high priest who suffered the same afflictions that we do.
Okay. But yeah. And so just from the way we see him living his life, it obviously wasn't luxurious.
No.
It was day-to-day trials.
Yeah.
And not knowing where even the next lunch is going to come from. And yet, that's the picture that God wanted to display through his life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the picture the Father wanted to reveal.
Interesting. Yeah. Kind of in what you're saying there and in kind of what Arnold was talking about earlier, I think about taking myself out of things. And I don't know if that's the right way to say that, but I kind of remove me, the self. And I say, because once I do, because I feel like if I don't, then I'm kind of fighting with, not mm-hmm. fighting, mm-hmm. in a like a conflict sometimes with what mm-hmm. God want through me. I mean, like, I know better kind of a thing. No, I don't know better. But, and so it's sort of taking the me out of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I let that go. And I have just God working through me. That feels totally.
I think the reason why he didn't add anymore is because he wants us to be faith, have faith, and just believe him and follow him. Adding more just give us more to hang on to, but we don't need that. We really don't. It wouldn't enrich who he is at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not really. Maybe there's a part that you're supposed to want to ask him about when you see him. You know, maybe I want to run up and say, "What did you when you were a kid?" You know?
Yeah, you're going to get, and many of you have heard from people who say, "Well, you're afflicted because you just don't have faith."
Yeah.
Or unconfessed sin.
That's the other. That's the other issue. Yep.
When we were still going to New Hope, I heard that a lot from, you know, a couple of times from some of the associate pastors mm-hmm, mm-hmm. that you worked with.
Oh, yeah.
The reason that my mom was sick was because she didn't have the faith that she needed to see, you know, to mm-hmm. see herself through.
Yeah.
Isn't that science?
So this is the obstacle, guys, that we're up against.
Mm-hmm.
This is the prevailing notion. Sickness is not of God.
I found that being logical doesn't do anything for that kind of to me. Yeah. It's wow. That's not my experience. You know, mm-hmm. it just and go from there.
Yeah.
People
in the prevailing theology cannot put God and sickness in the same box.
Mm-mm. God is
any affliction. God is opposed to affliction. God mm-hmm. is here to answer any problem adversity.
Well, he's perfect. God is perfect.
Exactly. So anything that doesn't measure up to perfection can't be of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I can do that with my opinion, my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes the thunder out of somebody's coming at you with logic.
Yeah.
Or even scripture backing up. That's just not my experience. Yeah. I'm doing fine, thank you.
So here's Paul saying, you know, I'm really happy to take on adversity if it will show you, Colossians, how real Christ is in me. Hmm. That's what he's saying, isn't it?
Yeah.
And wasn't Jesus, his own sufferings, all a part of showing the reality of the Father? The Father was in him, in his death. A lot of people, we disassociate. When Jesus died, God had to part himself from that. That wasn't, God wasn't a part of sickness and death and cruelty. Jesus had to undergo that to take care of it, but God wasn't in it. And yet Paul says, no, God was in Christ, reconciling mm-hmm. the world to himself.
Right.
You see that? That's why, remember I said to you, Norman Grubb has this teaching, every adversity is God in disguise.
Yeah, try and sell that to the
normal Christian. That's why many people turned him off. But all he was saying was the same thing Paul was saying.
Mm-hmm.
When I am weak, I am strong.
And it's interesting. So when you look at it that way, so I think that's what changes is when you go through something that you feel weak in, or you're going through a trial or anything, what is mm-hmm. God trying to show me through this time? What, mm-hmm. and to really see it as, I already know God's got blessings in all of this. Reveal it to me. I can't wait. So there's part mm-hmm. of that mm-hmm. in
yeah.
how I become stronger, what will happen, because yeah. this is exciting.
And yet, and you're right, Rizzi, not only is there something as a blessing to you, but from Paul's standpoint, it didn't matter what was happening to him if it conveyed something to others. Follow my saying? Follow what I'm thinking? This isn't fun to go through, but I rejoice in the fact if it shows God to you, to someone else. I'm not so concerned about what it's doing in me. Now, although Paul had that revelation, he realized the grace of God.
Yeah.
But he realized this is not just to benefit me. This is going to benefit the church at large. That's why he says, I rejoice in my sufferings for you. So if I suffer, do I have this mindset that it's suffering for someone else?
So Paul was teaching at that time when he's writing this stuff. He's teaching. But I can bring it back to my personal situation real easy to say, well, you know, he's been in and with me all the way through, and he's made me realize mm-hmm. I am today. And boy, if you want to go back through the detail, we can spend all day talking about what I did in the hospital and stuff. And that's that scares people off right there. You know?
Yeah.
Nobody can talk about
it. But what if, Arnold, everything that you're undergoing and have undergone is not for you, but it was for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you're taking their place. That's not the idea. There's something in, there's a value in your suffering that going to touch someone else's life.
Yeah. You know, if I was talking to someone, I'd just say, you know, what I've been through may be valuable to you, you know.
Yeah, okay.
But okay. Without going into detail, because I'd love to have you know Jesus like I mm-hmm. live. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What more real testimony?
Yeah.
This isn't something just cerebral. You are living out the grace of God in a moment by moment experience. I mean, you're having, pardon the expression, you're having to gut it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like what Beth sort of inspiring others with her attitude, not in a direct what I'm doing way, but it's that passing that, and then that person goes home and says, oh wow, I'm so grateful for, you know, just for my little trouble of a paper mm-hmm. cut, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, but people can really get the the grace and the beauty of their own life, other people.
Yeah.
You know, Dennis.
Yeah, and that's kind of just how I see it. Like we're talking about just, you know, when you go through stuff, I always kind of think, you know, oh, I wonder who this is going to benefit, or if nothing else, it gives you better insight to other people, which gives you more empathy. It just kind of grows you. It kicks you down the road, you know, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's just how I've always kind of viewed it. Like, oh, because you want it to benefit someone else. You want it to be for the good for someone else. Like,
well, hey, David,
I can't explain things well.
David, been through so much. I think you're still on the line here, David.
David fell off. I don't know what.
I'm sorry. Well, anyway, he of all people have been through such a tough. What most people describe as a tough medical situation. Very. And he seems calm and collected when he's talking these days.
No, he has his experience is much like yours in that sense, and it was arduous. He was a couple of years bedrest. Yeah. I mean, and one full year struck to a stretcher. I mean, he couldn't move, and they had to flip him over. I mean, it was. I don't know how he got through it. I really don't. But you know, he looked back on it and explained, yeah, it was not me. It was something. Grace of God in me.
You know, Dennis, when I was sitting in the ER this week, I went through a scripture and I passed by a verse, Romans 8:18.
Yeah.
With Paul. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Okay. Now, I'm glad you brought that up, Scott.
So Scott was in the ER?
Scott had a little episode. He had to sit and wait for some medicine in ER this week, and some more soul searching time. But you mentioned Romans 8:18, the sufferings of this present life are not even worthy to compare with the glory that will be revealed in us. Mm-hmm. When is that glory revealed? When is that glory going to be revealed?
Okay, this is a trick question.
Okay, gang. Traditional theology tells us that that's going to be in the future.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It is why, when you think about it, through the paradigm of our union with Christ, the future is now. Back to the future. The future is now.
So
we're living in that sphere of time. This is where the current era do not deserve the glory about to be revealed for us. All right? This current time, this current era. What I'm going through now is really all for the glory of God to be seen in me now.
Right.
Not in some, you know, when you think about it, what meaning would there be in saying after you die and you're off in this heaven, what purpose is suffering then? Do you get a better crown? Do you get a better aurora around you?
You get better rewards if you're.
Yeah, that's the typical understanding of that passage. Paul's not talking about future. Where is the glory of God wanting to be revealed? Where does he want to reveal his glory?
In us.
Through us, yeah.
Right now. Through us
now. Christ in you, the expectation of glory. When is that? That's now.
Oh.
See, for the longest time, I thought that Romans 8:18 was referencing the future.
Yeah. You
know, it wasn't until this week that I actually, you know, I started to realize, hey, that it, you know, it's got more to do with our present condition than it does with
anything. Yes. So Paul is saying, how do you measure that glory against suffering? When you think about it, there isn't suffering enough to compare to all the glory revealed. You know, see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can never have enough suffering because all it amounts to is more glory of God in you.
Mm-hmm. That's neat. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what Paul is saying. That's the value. He puts a value on suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You look at that statement, Dennis, then you look at the suffering that Jesus went through.
Absolutely. And did he not display the glory of God?
Mm-hmm.
Hanging there in the utter being despised and the ugliness of that cross.
Yeah.
Was glory of God revealed?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. That's so.
That really helps me in what I'm likely facing going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What I don't think, maybe you all didn't realize, but the AMA surgeons want to move ahead with doing the last three surgeries.
Wow.
Replacing them with two surgeries and new metal, bigger metal, and then lots of recovery.
Wow.
Julie and I have come to the point, and there's several friends of ours that are praying that shall not be the case. That I will not have to go back to surgery, that there's ways that my body can and will heal the infection rather than going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we've taken steps this week to get that started. Now I recognize we're going up against AMA doctors and perhaps into some non-traditional things, but there's a lot of information about healing infection. Everything out. Just so you know, I'm this Monday, they're going in to aspirate. Well, in other words, to take long needles and go in and determine, they can, what this bad bugs are. And then that would size up their surgery plan. Well, we intend instead to have some very strong discussions with an infectious disease doctor that will see that same data.
Mm-hmm.
And is there something short of going in there and cutting everything out and whatever? And he may not be the only doctor we want to talk to.
Arnold, have they cultured your? Cultured your infection?
Not yet. They tried that 2 weeks ago, and it came back negative because I'm on antibiotic. I've been, since the last surgery, they've had me on antibiotic, and that neutralizes. But obviously, that antibiotic has not killed all the bad bugs.
Yeah, that's what I ran into this week.
Yes. So, I've been off all antibiotic for now the second week, and hopefully that'll give them a more accurate reading.
Right.
Going on.
Well, they'll surely be praying for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'd mentioned to you a tentative surgery date of January 27th. That ain't going to happen. It's if there were to be surgery, it's going to be into February, March, or whatever, and a lot can happen in that time. I went to one more natural doctor who basically has me putting a wound with a towel that soaks deep into the wound, yeah, and helps the white blood cells and helps the good antibodies to do their job. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be working. It seems like some of the swelling has gone down. But that's only one thing. Someone else said, well, you need to be on a certain kind of a vitamin C regimen along with some other nutritional type stuff. Well, maybe that's true. Maybe there's a truth to that.
You know, Arnold, as you're describing these alternative processes, I just find it amazing that doctors traditionally have one method to take care of the problem. And usually, okay, let's cut it out, take care of it. Without regarding all the other wonderful ways that maybe God has provided. Mm-hmm. And you there. You know, and we lose sight of that. And so because they're programmed to think in one paradigm and one way they tackle something.
Yeah.
And they're paid by Big Pharma. That's what it's all about.
Oh yeah. God is pouring revelation into you about here are some other ways in the natural scheme of things that you can see healing.
Right. You know.
Yeah.
Hope I don't call it stubborn, but in a way it is. And just enough to declare I ain't gonna go under the knife again. I've got Jesus, and I'd ask you guys to join me in Jesus in the same determination, because gee whiz, we do have the power of God in all of you.
Okay.
You know, and Judge Arnold, what I found out was, you know, not too long ago, was that there are many things out there, not only supplements, but also, you know, things that we take in that are anti-inflammatory.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, that might help in your situation also.
Sure. But anyway, I'm not a doctor, so,
But here's the thing. Remember a week ago, I shared right out of the same book of Paul's here that you would grow in the realization of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is Paul saying? The realization of Christ in you. And there's so many different ways that manifests. Wisdom comes about. God, you're here in me. And with that comes, you've given me vitamins, or you've given this, or the opening of your eyes when you realize God is all knowing, all present. I can't even describe it. I mean, when you realize God in you.
Yeah.
The power that's there. And that, folks, everybody, that's what Paul's talking about, because the glory of God being revealed.
Mm-hmm. And it's the power of that in you, and the peace that comes with that. Mm-hmm. You get that full sense of, oh wow, I'm in the best hands imaginable.
Yeah. Now, again, compare this to traditional teaching. The church has said, we've got to go to bat on this. We got to pray. You've got to be healed. You need more faith. You got to take care of, as Beth mentioned, and you know, that sin, that unconfessed sin in your life. That's the only thing it could be. And we miss the point. The point is, God says no. Yeah, there may be. He shows us to pray, but there's so many other facets to this issue where He's wanting to display something, maybe unconventional, maybe something real, different, that brings out His glory.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, Chrissy, that peace that you're talking about is upon us. It's not that I don't have moments where, you know, if anything, I get mad, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't even know who I'm getting mad at, but there is peace, and it's also caused me, Jesus and me, to seek out some whole bunch of stuff this last week, up into including a holistic doctor up in Huntington Beach that was outside of our insurance and paid $250 for a complete analysis and walked away with some different ideas.
There you go.
I mean, I believe God will also activate you, activate me to have his will be shown.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I will say too, Arnold, I think that one of the, just like God wants to be shown, the devil wants to hide God. And so in a lot of what we've gone through or with Andy's experience is that a lot of, you know, maybe it costs 25 cents, maybe it's found in your backyard, maybe this or that. And the power in, you know, whatever it is, just because it's not making somebody a lot of money to sell it or they can't sell it. And it's really interesting. So anyway, I
quit chemo. I was in the middle of chemo and I decided to quit. I could tell it was going to do me more harm than good. And I decided to just trust that God, I haven't seen a doctor in years. And I don't plan because I'm just relying on him at this point.
I think part of it too.
I take supplements. I change over a really healthy diet because I have rheumatoid arthritis from chemo and other things. And
amen, Andy. You know?
Well, and we decided not to jump in anything just because somebody says you have to do this.
Yeah.
It's like, well, hold on just a second, slow down. So
there you go. There you go. That's what I'm saying. The revelation opens up to so many other possibilities.
Yeah.
The revelation of God. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That we would realize what is the full scope of his will and who he is and how he functions and what all is his attributes in us. Now remember too, this isn't just us. This isn't just Arnold going through this. This is God going through this.
Yeah.
This is the beauty of the union paradigm. Yeah. It isn't just Arnold facing this disease. This is God facing this disease.
You can't have Christ in you without Jesus going through it with you.
That's what Paul's talking about. I'm happy to fill up the sufferings of Christ.
Yeah.
This is the glory of God revealed.
What power. That's so cool.
Yeah. when we catch it, yeah. And there's much more that he wants to show us as well.
Okay, here is my meaningless comparison for the morning. traditional church theology is like a regular doctor.
Okay.
What we're talking about Christ and yet Christ in us is like a doctor who takes another approach.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Best doctor around.
Dr. God.
Yeah.
Powerful, guys. Well, again, I'm always amazed at how God reveals himself in our conversations and more of the power of his life in us. And we'll be thinking of you, Arnold, this week as you're leaning on that realization. And we know commonly another brother, Arnold, that has gone through this as well. Not the same sickness, but you know his problem with autoimmune disease. And the doctor said, "Well, the only cure is to go on dialysis." And that was 10 years ago, I think. Mm-hmm. And he refused to believe him, and he researched and prayed on for the wisdom of God. God opened up whole vistas of information and people, doctors and research that he never knew existed.
Love that.
Everything from food to different supplements, and it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And he's living healthy and strong. You know who I'm talking about? It's our brother Gary.
Yeah.
Oh, Gary Larkin.
Gary Larkin.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yes.
And I remember the conversations that we would have. And he would say to me, wow, I hate to oppose my doctors, but I'm seeing so many other things. And I'm saying, Terry, that's the wisdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
He's opening up so many different things to you, so many different paths. And all of this is reflecting on his glory.
Yeah.
So go with God, guys. Have a great week. For those interested, this Wednesday at 10 a.m. is good for me. If anybody else wants to connect in Zoom, if you're around and available, this is a chef's choice, whatever question, whatever. Okay. So Wednesday, I think that's the 12th, 10 a.m. If it works, we'll set up a special edition this week. Okay.
I may be able to jump onto that.
All right. Let's do it.
I'm going to set an alarm this time.
Okay.
Because
I'll be sending out a reminder day,
okay.
Or day before.
Okay, do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I need reminders.
I'm still waiting for our next podcast, Edison.
Yes, we need to do that as well. Scott, the turn of the year, and I know I make the excuse of new puppy, and that's not all. We're revamping our kitchen, and
you got a new puppy?
Yes, I know. I look like I have a hole right here.
No, wow. You don't. Oh, you don't.
A new member of the family.
New member of the family. Yeah. Contractor coming tomorrow, gutting the kitchen. Well, not totally, but just a lot of chaos. So anyway,
building the dog house.
We'll love to see the new handiwork that's done.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thanks to y'all.
Thank you, Dennis.
Bye, Dennis.
Bye. Thank you, Dennis. Bye. All right.
Praying for you, Arnold.
Yes.
Yeah, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Mm.